I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, whatever you're celebrating, celebrate it with friends, family, or people that you have to see, because that's what you do this time of year, you make sacrifices. Welcome to the show. It's Grant Nanny here on The Fan. Pete Medhurst in for GP, much deserved holiday time off. Pete, good morning, buddy. How are you?
What's happening?
There we go. Hey, turn a microphone on. What's happening,
sir? I know it's your first time on the radio, so you're a little bit nervous.
You know, sorry.
It's all right, buddy.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you, buddy.
A lot of good stuff to come on the program today. The Redskins by John Clayton were rated the worst job. No surprise there. No mystery there, Pete. We'll get into how high that job could go, though, if they fired Bruce Allen and if Dan Snyder had a mea culpa. Like, the dream scenario. How high could that ranking climb for the Redskins? Nick Backstrom is negotiating his own contract.
A unique thing in today's world.
Unusual. So I want to get into that a little bit, have some fun with that. What little weird perk would you want to put in to your contract? We'll talk some Christmas stuff, get through a couple different angles on that. One more Dwayne Haskins topic before we head off for the Christmas holiday. Has he done enough now that he's been officially shut down? Bill Callahan and Callahan Auto Parts did a nice job yesterday at the presser making sure everybody knew. That's it. High ankle sprain. We're not risking him. He's done once and for all. Ryan is here. Sean is here. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. A couple things I want to kick around with you before we get into our first topic du jour. I'm really glad that we don't have to do here in this town a Kirk Cousins thing anymore. It's so toxic. It's so divisive. You've got to, if you think, like me, that he's pretty good. Grant is higher on him than I am, and that's fine, by the way. Reasonable minds can differ. I've always thought he's pretty good, and you're going to be disappointed if you count on him to be great. Well, he stunk last night. Now, it wasn't as if Aaron Rodgers was unbelievable, 26 for 40, 216, and one interception. This was a Aaron Jones spectacle, by the way. He went for a 154 and two touches on the ground. Minnesota, who's got a similar identity, couldn't do anything on the ground game. 11 carries, 28 yards for fantasy Boone. Mike Boone turned bust, Mike Boone, okay? Minnesota looked terrible. What the hell was that? I don't know what's going on there. But Cousins, 16 to 31, 122 yards, a touchdown and a pick, sacked five times. It was bad. I'm just so glad we don't have to do that here anymore.
First of all, Matt LaFleur went a little out of continuity last night. I mean, Aaron Rodgers hadn't been throwing the ball a lot. He threw 30 passes in the first half last night. Second half, he only threw a 10 as they ran it down the Vikings' throat in the victory. But you know, in arguably your biggest game of the regular season, the Vikings played it like, hey, if we lose, we could be this seed and play this team. So maybe we're just going to kind of play it conservatively. And it was just the weirdest looking game plan from Minnesota last night. But also, I think, look, we've been waiting all year to really believe in the Packers defense because the past tells us don't believe in the Packers defense. But maybe this Packers defense is legit, and maybe it does make them somewhat of a contender, because despite good weapons on the outside, they really did a hell of a job outside of the one touchdown pass to Diggs. They did a heck of a job against Kirk Cousins and that offense last night. Certainly missing Dalvin Cook doesn't help, but Mike Boone, Debbie Boone, Pat Boone, Ron Boone, it doesn't matter.
Brett Boone.
Last night, Brett Boone. Aaron. A lot of people's fantasy hopes watching Twitter last night were dependent on Mike Boone. I watched Pat Forty. He said he lost by 1 point. He was just waiting for Mike Boone to get two more yards, and those yards never came because he got benched basically in the third quarter.
Yeah, they never came, and that was going to be my little secret thing. My opponent had Dalvin Cook. I had Mike Boone. I pounced when it was doubtful if Madison was going to play. It was a coup, and then I ended up losing.
A Boone swoon.
Yeah, I lost anyway. Tell me if this is familiar. Former Redskin Preston Smith, half a sack last night. He's had an unbelievable year for that defense, which is resurgent that you mentioned. They got gashed early in the season by Philadelphia. Remember that game where Jordan Howard ran wild, Miles Sanders ran wild? I haven't gotten that game out of my head just yet, talking about Green Bay and that defense. I need to update my file because they're good. That defense is really, really good. But tell me if you've heard this before, Pete.
You like that? You like that? You like that? You like that? Woo!
That's Preston Smith post-game in that same general area where Kirk Cousins said that. So, A, that's funny. B, it's why I don't do catchphrases. It's why I don't do slogans. It's why I don't, you know, do a dance every time I get a first down. Not
can
that I'm doing anything.
Can always be turned around on you, my friend.
Yeah, what am I? I'm 40 years old. I sneezed and had to go to the hospital a couple weeks ago.
Banged up ribs.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's why if I'm Cam Newton and I got to do a Superman thing every time, or like I got to like choreograph dance where I'm, electricity from my right hand all the way to my left and I'm wiggling and I point for a first down. It's why I don't do that stuff. Because when it goes bad, it's going to get shoved right in your face. It's why you don't put it on a t-shirt.
If you gamble and you are not only the good player but become the entertainer on top of it, you run the risk of that being thrown back in your face. We see it all the time in games. Guys will mock somebody's first down celebration, somebody's sack dance. You know, I mean, look at all the choreography now we have on touchdowns, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the choreography on touchdowns is amazing now throughout the National Football League. But if you're going to be entertainer on top of good player, you have to continuously back it up. If not, somebody's just waiting to turn around and throw it back in your face, as Preston Smith did to his former teammate last night.
Well, the streak, by the way, just totally moving on real quick, of domination where the Washington Capitals own the Boston Bruins, I guess that's over. I mean, I'm doing different things, getting the kids ready. They took off with their mom. She didn't have to work today, so she's up with the in-laws. I'm headed up there as soon as the show's over. Got everybody out the door. I sat down, and it was 2-0 already.
Yeah.
And it got worse from there. I didn't see the end of the game. I'm sure it ended very well. I turned it off when it was 5-0. That's only their fourth stinker, by my count, for the Capitals this year in almost 40 games. Those games happen up there in Boston, but God, that was gross, huh?
I mean, they are 26-7-5. Yeah. I mean, you know, so it's not like they've had many. But, look, I mean, how many times, if you're the Boston Bruins, you know, it's like the little brother that constantly gets his rear end beat by his big brothers all the time. At some point, you either got to fight back. And I think the Bruins are just figuring out, you know, hey, maybe it's time to fight back against this team because they continuously kick our ass. Ironically, because of the Bruins destroying the Capitals last night, I invested a lot of time, believe it or not, in the Knicks and the Wizards. And give Tommy Shepard a lot of credit. He pulled Gary Payton II off the street. GP2 went for 10-11. You get a free McDouble today as a result of his antics last night in the win over the New York Knicks.
Well, the Knicks are just a...
They are awful.
If a tire fire fought a garbage fire and there were dead skunks involved for some reason, and the skunks evacuated right before they die. The point is, it's the grossest thing imaginable. They have 11 power forwards. None of which can play together. It makes no sense. They're stunting R.J. Barrett's growth. I could go on and on and on about the Knicks. Nobody cares. But Wizards get a W on the road in the Garden, where nobody was great. I mean, Beal was 2 of 11 from 3.
He's 13 of 38.
He took a whole mess of shots. I didn't think anybody was tremendous. Actually, I thought Troy Brown played a really good game off the bench, now that I mention it. A darn near triple-double as a reserve.
TBJ.
But they were shorthanded. You mentioned it. They had 8 healthy players coming into the game with a bunch of guys banged up and hurt. So they signed Gary Payton, the glove part two. Played 34 minutes and was good. So it's good to see those guys get a W.
5 assists, 6 steals. Where has he been?
Yeah, that was good. I mean, Tommy Shepard is doing the thing that I've wanted done for so long. And people are not looking at the Wizards, and I get that, because they're not good. What I'm saying is, this is the way... Mandalorian style, this is the way, where you know what you have in terms of a star. They're hoping John Wall comes back. I don't believe that John Wall will ever be John Wall again. But I understand why they would hope that, because he's got an onerous contract. You're not going to get good value when you trade him. They're going to give him some time, hoping modern medicine and the discipline of a great rehab comes back.
You can just get him back to 80 to 85% of John Wall. If you surround him with the right pieces, it can still be effective.
And so that's their idea. And what you should be doing in the meantime is mining this planet for assets, whether they're assets that play for you or assets that will be traded to acquire future assets, whether it's draft picks, first-rounders, second-rounders. You take guys like Davis Bertans. You take guys like Garrison Matthews, this dude AP, whose name I can't pronounce. Neither can they, so they just call him AP. If he can play, you spin it. And or you figure out they can play for you. You figure out that Admiral Schofield's a player, and he's a starter for you in 2 years. You figure out, you know, is Zach Bonga worth developing or not? That's what you exactly what you should be doing to find a way to be really competitive, not maxing out, trading away all your draft picks for, you know, to sell your soul to win 42 ball games, Ernie Grunfeld style. So I applaud the Wizards. I bought tickets. I'm going to the game on the 30th. I want to support this process. So it's fun to see the guys, the boys get rewarded every now and again. But here's what we want to start with, Pete. We'll get into this. John Clayton wrote an article where he featured the best potential head coaching landing spots. Not all these guys have been let go yet, but it's where the rumors are hot and heavy. There's some places like Atlanta where they're finishing strong, and who knows if Dan Quinn is going to get canned or not. But he ranked the seven jobs that we know of that are potentially open at this point. We know the Redskins came in last. That's no surprise. I think that's correct. I think that's obvious. Duh, okay? But 800-636-1067. Where I want to go with this is, if they do the right thing, a.k.a. if Dan Snyder has a come-to-Jesus moment and doesn't reassign Bruce Allen, fires Bruce Allen, as I've been tweeting 92 consecutive days, by the way, that he should do. He fires Bruce Allen, removes him from the premises, gives him a turtle walk out of the building, says, you're gone. Smell you later. Here's your plane ticket. Goodbye. They hire a regular general manager, etc. How high could they climb? How good could this job actually be? We'll kick that around next. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Pete in for GP, 800-636-1067. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Pedro in for GP. Want to talk, what perk would you throw in if you were negotiating your own contract like Nicholas Backstrom is doing with the Capitals? Right now at the moment, though, John Clayton, the professor, writing for the Washington Post, ranked the potentially available jobs. The potentially available jobs. There are seven where there are rumors hot and heavy. No surprise here. If you have followed the Washington Redskins, this is not just Redskins hating or Redskins bashing, as the incorrect people like to say. It's an acknowledgement of where we are. This is not a good head football coaching job. It's not, Pete. It's not. History says that. Bruce Allen says that. Dan Snyder says that. Organizational dysfunction says that, right? This is not a good place to come to work every day. Jay Gruden navigated it because he didn't care. He didn't have an ego. And he lasted longer than anybody else had, okay?
Actually got an extension.
Got an extension, that's right.
Only guy. Only guy to do that in the Snyder era.
So we've hashed and rehashed and legislated this. We know that. It's the worst job, to me, in the NFL. Even worse than Cleveland, which is saying something, because that's the company they're in. So here's the ranking real quick. Number seven, Washington. Tell me if you disagree with any of these. Number six, Jacksonville. Number five, the Giants. Number four, the Carolina Panthers. Number three, the Cleveland Browns. I actually think Cleveland's a little high here. We can talk about that. Number two, Dallas. Despite Jones just in your hip pocket, you should challenge that play. Well, not challenge it. Do whatever you do is wrong. I'll just be standing here. Number one, the Atlanta Falcons, which I tend to agree with. So here's the question. Forget about the specifics of these rankings. If this week, because it should have already happened, by the way. Well, it should have happened for months and months and even years. But if this week, Pete, Dan Snyder goes, oh, my God, we can't do anything until we fire Bruce Allen. The stadium deal ain't happening. D.C., that little back channel has closed off. There's another article this week about it, by the way. Maryland has already said, how about no? Virginia's not that excited anymore to do it after the Richmond deal went sideways. There's nothing that Bruce Allen does well except bring embarrassment to my franchise. He's fired. If Bruce Allen's gone, a real honest-to-goodness football man, a general manager, a John Dorsey, you could pick your horse, okay? An Ozzie Newsome-type figure.
I wonder
emerges.
If that guy's even out there right now.
Maybe not, honestly. But let's say that it is. Dream scenario, best case for the Redskins. How high could they climb on this list?
I'm not sure. I re-ranked them in terms of how I think the jobs are. From top to bottom to me, I say what you want about Jerry. You have resources and you have talent. To me, the Dallas job is number one. Okay? You've got resources. You've got talent. Yes, you have an owner that loves to. But you know what, though? Think about this. The owner, in some cases, is already out there taking some of the shrapnel for you because he's out there talking to the media, unlike a city like Washington where we never hear from Dan Snyder.
You don't hear from him.
I would put Dallas number one based on the talent that is already there. I would put the Giants number two. Because, again, I have strong ownership. I know I'm going to have resources that I need to do this job. I know I'm going to the only fly in the ointment in New York, though, I love the ownership. I hate the general manager. in terms of Dave Gettleman. I would not want to work for Dave Gettleman. I would hope that they would move on from him. I do not believe the Falcons' job is going to open. I believe Dan Quinn has enough equity built up from a Super Bowl appearance and the team re-rallying around him. And in the middle of the season, he made some changes philosophically that he had to make because he was stubborn and it wasn't working. He did, and now it's working.
5-2 down the stretch.
Arthur Blank is a guy that loves to be seen down on the sideline. Not quite the same as Jerry Jones, but he's there. He likes Dan Quinn. I don't believe the Falcons' job is going to open. Carolina, we know, is already open. I like the fact that the owner did what he did with Ron Rivera. He said, dude, look, I'm not going to leave you hanging. We're going to go out and look for somebody else. You've been here a long time. For whatever reason, it's not working now. We're going to get a fresh start going in a different direction. And instead of leaving him hanging, he told him right then and there. So to me, if I'm a coach looking at a job, that's a strong ownership situation there with the new ownership in Carolina. The Cleveland job is next. And here's the problem in Cleveland. Good GM, you still have Haslam as an owner, and you got a bunch of juveniles right now playing for the franchise. And Baker Mayfield, it's not. People are going to point the fingers at OBJ and Landry. This starts with Baker Mayfield to me. There's still some maturity issues with the quarterback there in Cleveland. It's not just Odell and Landry who want to make plays. The quarterback is still responsible for that happening. Freddie Kitchens is still responsible for that happening. If I'm a coach, I look at that job with caution. I look at that job because of a John Dorsey being there, which is why I think an Eric Bieniemy could be headed there.
Well, I'm a Dorsey guy, and I think all it takes is an adult to fix that.
John Dorsey from Annapolis via St. Mary's High School.
Well, I think Freddie Kitchens, they basically said, Baker, who do you like? And he's like, I really like Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens
is
over
his
head.
He's so cool. He's
the best. Over his head.
He's over his head.
And then I would put the Skins next, and then I would put the Jaguars job last. There's nothing appealing about that Jaguars job whatsoever. As much as I love Gardner Minshew, but that job has got some real issues. You don't even know if Shad Khan wants to keep the franchise there.
Yeah, so I don't want to go to London. So that, to me, is the worst one. So, but answer the question. If Bruce Allen's fired, how high does it climb? And they have a real general manager. They do the thing they haven't done in 21 years. By the way, 21 years. 21 years they haven't done the correct thing. They have a general manager in place who's got autonomy, who doesn't have any wrinkles, there's no problem, just a good football guy.
On that list of seven, I could put them as high as four, but no higher because Dallas, the Giants, the Falcons' jobs, to me, for different reasons that I like, are just better situations right now. I could move the Redskins as high as four, but no higher.
So here's where I'm coming. This may surprise you. If they do the right thing, this all of a sudden, in my opinion, becomes an appealing job. Because of the last six quarters of Dwayne Haskins, there's something,
I'm with you on that.
There's something there, right? Now, you don't want to overreact, but I'm just saying, just in terms of sexiness, you've got a huge salary cap burden in Jordan Reed, a huge salary cap burden in terms of Trent Williams, a huge salary cap burden in terms of Alex Smith. Now, Smith isn't going anywhere just yet. You're still a year away from being able to get out of that poison pill, okay, because they gave him so much guaranteed money as a backlash to not liking Kirk Cousins, but whatever. You're eventually going to get some of that cap space back where you could spend a whole bunch. You're going to have a high draft pick. You've got Terry McLaurin. You've got a couple of young pieces that all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, there's some decent molding clay here. The owner has had a come-to-Jesus moment. He's changed his mind. He's hired a general manager. I think that would go a long way. Now, he may revert to form after 6 weeks, 6 months, because he's done that a billion times over. He's pretended to do the right thing, and the next thing you know, Scott McLuhan's out in disgrace. Or next thing you know, Brian LaFemina is working for somebody else instead of you. But I think that job could be better than the Jaguars' job. I think it could be better than the Giants' job, because I'm lower on Dave Gettleman than you. I think it could be better than the Carolina Panthers job because you are stuck with whatever Cam Newton is after all these injuries. You're stuck. There's nowhere to go. You've got to play a certain way with Cam Newton, and that way can be effective. We've seen it a couple years ago when they're 15-1. He's the MVP. I don't know they're ever getting that again. I think it could be better than the Cleveland job because of Jimmy Haslam. And because, as you alluded to, you're kind of stuck with some of these kids.
Right.
I've all of a sudden got this as the third best job if they fire Bruce Allen and hire a general manager.
But it makes sense, though, Danny, because giving the team resources has never been Dan's issue. That's never been the issue. Paying players, that's never been the issue. The issues that shortchange some franchises don't shortchange the franchise here. So in terms of resources and cash to divest on players and draft picks and re-signing your own people eventually down the line, you have the want to hear from this ownership. The question becomes, and a topic we'll talk about a little bit later, as it pertains to the owner.
Give us a call, 800-636-1067. I think it could be the third best job if Bruce Allen's fired. Think about that. Think about being the worst, being an embarrassment, being a laughingstock, being 32 out of 32, to all of a sudden moving up in the rankings with one simple action and a follow-up. Agree or disagree? 800-636-1067 on this Christmas Eve, Grant and Danny. What do we got here, Sean?
Michael McDonald. This Christmas.
Michael McDonald.
Greatest background singer in the history of music. This dude is amazing.
It's a unique voice for Michael McDonald.
Just like when him and who's the guy that did Yamo Be There with him? Jeffrey Osborne.
Okay.
It was Jeffrey Osborne that did Yamo Be There with Michael McDonald. And then all the other stuff that he's done backups on through the years. This guy's amazing. If you were acquiring boots,
okay,
in the late 70s and early 80s, this was your man right here.
he's first team that. Like it's absolutely. That's the dude version of whatever the Christina Aguilera 90s thing is, to put your left pointer finger over your left ear. Close your eyes and make some sort of like, yeah. And you actually did it. But you make some kind of like up and down, up and down motion with your right hand to let everyone know that you're going up and down with your song.
Remember when we were in speech class back in high school, they always told us hand gestures, you know, look like you're into it.
So she demonstrate.
Yes.
Draw people's attention to your hands. Yeah.
Yes. I'm talking. I'm standing right here. I'm talking.
I mean, he almost sounds like a South Park character. He's like, Christmas.
That's pretty good.
Christmas.
No shocker that a guy that does great impressions is doing great Michael McDonald.
I've never tried a Michael McDonald before. I'd have to broaden the file a little bit. It's Christmas. Not next Christmas, but this one. Give me a present.
Yeah.
And a harmonica?
Oh.
This is a deep cut. Wow. What are we supposed to be talking about? Oh, yeah. It's Grant and Danny here in the van. Pete's with us. No GP. He's off for the holiday.
Who's playing the harmonica as the next coach comes walking up the driveway at Redskins Park?
Did you miss any of the show this week or last week or any other time? It's not a problem. You can rewind up to 24 hours with the radio.com rewind. It's part of the application. So download the app, select our station, and go back in time. Huey Lewis sang Back in Time. It's a great tune. Throwing that out there, Sean, before your time.
Love Huey Lewis.
Here's the conversation at the moment. We'll talk Nicholas Backstrom here in a second, Pete. So I threw out what I think is a fairly ballsy assertion, if I can say that, in so much as if Dan Snyder, for the first time in his disastrous tenure as owner of the Washington Redskins, that has by any measure been at best poor, at worst embarrassing, disastrous, all the different words, figures out that he can't have a smarmy, over his skis, yes man, in charge of his football organization. First it was Vinny Bumbatz, then it was Bruce Allen. We've basically spanned two decades with absolute boobery. Underqualified zilches who have deflected attention away from Dan Snyder's true lack of understanding as to how to do this, right? If he knew how to do this, then he would hire a football person.
Especially with the resources he has to offer.
Now, you mentioned something, and I want to get off on a little tangent here. I don't want a sign or a cosign, Ryan. I want a tangent, okay? Here's the tangent. He does spend on players and has, right? Bruce Allen's brought some fiscal solvency in general, the Alex Smith contract notwithstanding. But the way they don't do the Bruce Smith, Deion Sanders, Mark Carrier stuff anymore, and people still give him that reputation, which I think is dumb and wrong. It's not updated. But I will say, Redskins Park is cheap. It's shoddy. They need to upgrade that place or raise it to the ground. They need to shoot a bazooka at it when no one's in the building. Hopefully everybody's out safe and start over. Move the location or don't. I don't care what you do. He's waiting on a stadium.
Yes.
And he wants that fixed as part of the stadium. They did some upgrades to Redskins Park with that Richmond deal where the state of Virginia got bent over and had to look at all the power tools in the woodshed. They did some upgrades, but it ain't enough.
They could see the tools from the angle they were at.
It's the 32nd out of 32 facilities. No, I've not toured all the facilities. I read smart people that have. There's a recent ESPN piece about the worst the league has to offer, and the Redskins are very much included in that. That's central to this thing. It's an embarrassing facility.
Well, case in point, I go to Philadelphia a lot, and right across the street from Lincoln Financial Field is where Philadelphia has their situation, their great building where they have an indoor mm-hmm. facility and an outdoor facility right directly across the street. And I think you're 100% right. This all has to tie into wherever this new stadium ends up. And I think that becomes a serious question now that the D.C. government has been knocked down twice in terms of trying to acquire that land over by RFK Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a legitimate chance. I think there's a legitimate chance that this thing could end up somewhere now in Northern Virginia, more so than ever before now.
I've always thought that's what's going to happen. And I'm not some kind of seer. I don't know anything. I'm just an idiot that reads the same articles everyone else does. I just get the sense that there's too much sticky with that RFK site. It's too sticky. There are too many people that are going, wait a minute. And,
yeah.
and you get enough of those and you get an obstacle. There's some senator or some congressman from Arizona that's weighing in on it now.
And Mayor Bowser, look, Mayor Bowser has openly said here of late they are supportive. They would love to have the Redskins back in town. They see what the Nats have done here to this area of Southeast and the way they've rejuvenated this area. But where else, if you don't put it over at RFK, within the district limits, where is there any land left to do something like that? And that answer would probably be zippy unless you knock down something.
So I learned this from The Wire, my favorite. In fact, I'm wearing a Wire-related sweatshirt right now. It's Cuddy's Boxing Gymnasium.
Oh boy.
Okay. I learned this from The Wire, and this is one of the things inside politics. Local mayors and people on city councils, they love big projects they can put their name on. They
yes.
love them. That would be a big project she could put her name on. I get why she wants it. Because, and I'm not criticizing anybody, by the way, it's a legitimate thing to want. A lot of people want them to be back at RFK because we can remember our childhood. It could be very nice. It's cost be damned, taxpayer be damned, overruns to cost whoever's got to foot the bill, tax breaks in the future to a football team that only is there 10 times a season, whatever events happen, the retail opens up. Who cares about debt? Who cares about any of that kind of stuff? Look at the shiny new building. Yay.
Yeah.
New housing we can have and rent out and have people pay a bunch of money to park. That's what they want. That looks like it's getting shut off. So I'm with you on the Ashburn thing. But they need to upgrade that facility. That's the Dwayne Haskins went from Ohio State to a worse facility playing pro football.
Oh, not even close.
And it's not close.
Not even close. I've been to Ohio State. Those facilities, my friend, are top notch. You talk about resources. Holy cow.
Pete, when we played University of South Carolina years ago, and they were number one in the country with Brian Roberts and a couple guys that were just studs, and they kicked the snot out of the George Washington University. We had competitive games against them, then they would score a lot more runs than us. But, you know, they're walking out of a field house that you could never imagine. They're, you know, this football stadium is ties to, and South Carolina stinks. South Carolina's not any good.
No.
They're what, the 10th best team in the SEC?
You ever been to Columbia, South Carolina? Well, you've obviously been to Columbia, South Carolina. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing place.
The only thing that town cares about is South Carolina. They care about the Gamecocks, and they care about showing up, dipping tobacco, and yelling at people that are not from there. That's what they want to do. That facility is better than anything Washington and the Redskins have to offer. It's an embarrassment.
But if you're Dan, I understand why you don't put more money into Redskin Park if eventually you want that facility to parallel your stadium, similar to what they have in Philadelphia.
Well, you remember when we were in Fairfax, we were moving out of Fairfax for, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
4 years, 4.5 years, 6 years?
That
right?
That was a terrible building.
The building was very bad. A car went through a plain glass window, and everyone was like, yeah. Like, that was the reaction. It was, oh, okay. That's about the same.
Are we still on the air? Okay.
It's fine. Adam Grassi almost lost his life. He left the room 7 seconds before that. Had he not needed tea, Adam Grassi would have been dead. And he's not dead. He's doing very well.
Beautiful new baby.
The point of the dude's story is, we were moving out of there for a long time, and that building suffered. It was gross and terrible and needed a bunch of things to happen to it. None of them did. And we eventually got out of there, right? That's what Ashburn's been. That's what Redskins Park has been, but not for 4 years, for 20 years. Everybody's lapped them in terms of facilities. So, yes, Snyder will spend on players. Yes, Snyder will spend on a coach or whatever. But they don't do what it takes to win. And that's what drives me crazy. I know this has nothing to do with the topic at the moment, but now I'm on a soapbox. When I hear people give the refrain, well, Dan really wants to win. Prove it. Prove it. Prove you want to win. You hire a general manager if you want to win. That's the first thing you do. The day one. I'm not talking about day whatever. What's Ryan, do some math for me. 21 years times 365. Figure out what 21 times 365 is and report back. You'll need two segments to do it. Day one install is, how do the good teams do it? They have a general manager. Okay, I'll do that. It's not what he does. He's done the opposite. He's done it for 21 years. How many days is it, Ryan?
7,665 days.
Attaboy.
7,665? Seven. Double six, five is the answer.
7,665.
That's a crack math team right there. Good for you, Ryan. Good for you. That's a day one thing, and he hasn't done that. You have the best facility in the sport. They haven't done that. They've done the opposite of that. You don't want to win. Prove it. Look, he'd like to win.
We've been competitive athletes before. How many times have coaches told you, being a leader is not standing up in the locker room going, we've got to play better. Wanting to win is not standing up there, I want us to beat the Cowboys today. That's not wanting to win. As the owner, you've got to put your money where your mouth is. He tried it. He tried it with the Bruce Smith, Deion Sanders all-star routine.
He did that so we could walk into a country club and be like, I just spent $100 million on a Hall of Famer. Right. I have a new helicopter and a yacht. You don't build a yacht, you build Ashburn up.
Right. Well, but see, I understand. I'm not trying to give him a pass here, but I understand why he's not trying to throw too much money in there if he's eventually going to relocate the whole thing.
If maybe that's where
but
we are now.
Maybe they're at some point now, you've got to do some minimum standard thing.
Yeah, and that's what they did a couple years ago. They replaced one couch and fixed some of the carpet that was coming up. That's what they did. And on Richmond's dime, by the way, they took a bath on it, you know?
But isn't that smart negotiating on his part and Bruce's part?
Well, of course it is. Of course it's smart. You get someone else to pay for it. It's
absolutely
better.
Absolutely. It's great negotiation.
So now that we're here, maybe you're right about running the clock out and hoping that someone else pays for it. But you had 21 years, bro. You had 21 years to make it the best facility in the sport, and it stays 32. It stays at the back. We're late. We got a break. Nicholas Backstrom negotiating his own contract. What perk would you want to throw into your special contract? Next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant Nanny here on The Fam. In about 12 minutes with you, Pete. Pete Medersen for GP. This is the time of year, a little bit sentimental, a little bit sappy, right? But it is very nice. I like to appreciate little things. And you're a dad, and Grant's a dad, of course, and so am I. When you're a dad, you live your life for your kids. You know, it's your other-centered, right? You do things for your wife, you do things for your children, and that's just part of it. And you get joy out of that. You get joy out of their happiness. And that's what Christmas is. That's what driving kids to sports practices, to, you know, to band recitals, to skiing, whatever the hell they do, right? You're driving them to play dates, to friends' houses as they get older. You take joy out of their joy. And that's where it comes from. And that's normal. But little things for yourself. Like when my wife takes the kids out on a Sunday morning and I can sip my coffee in my own time. I don't have to rush. I don't have to chug it just so I can face the day. A little thing gives me so much joy. We're going to ask you some of your favorite little things. We'll do that in about 12 minutes. But here's what I want to do right now, Pete. We talked about this. Nick Backstrom is negotiating his own contract with the Capitals. Very good relationship there. You would hope that a Hall of Fame caliber player is going to be a Capital for life. Criminally underappreciated in his own time, overshadowed by Alex Ovechkin, but a star. A star. A guy that's never gotten the appropriate credit. I think he's, you know, a multi-time All-Star, but still has never gotten his just due. He's negotiating his own contract. Money will figure itself out. Years will figure itself out. What's a cool perk that you would throw in? What's like, you know, Ryan Zimmerman has his night at the park every year, right, for his for the Zims Foundation. That's a cool perk. That's a cool little thing. Steven Strasburg, apparently, I don't know if this is true or not, wanted the Nats facility to be open every day so he could come in and work out. That kind of stuff. What's a cool perk that you would put into your contract if you were a pro?
Well, I would want copious amounts, endless amounts. In fact, just install a fountain Coke machine on my airplane. Swedish fish.
So you're going Pete Medders, not the pro athlete. Pete Medders, right,
you. You know, but look, if I'm a hockey player, I got to have some sort of recovery, you know, thing. I don't think you can get a hyperbaric chamber on an airplane, but I'd have to have something that would help my body recover. I'd have to have one of those, like we played in Ireland a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
We went on this big, I think it was a Aer Lingus 777, and they had these unbelievable sleep compartments certain area.
Oh, dude, it's
of
a
the plane.
Yeah,
I gotta get me one of those if I'm Nicholas Backstrom, because as I get older, my body's gonna have to recover, you know, more quickly when it's not going to when I'm 34 and 35 years old. I need one of those sleep compartments in one of those airplanes specifically for me. It's got to have 19 and a gold-plated thing there.
That way, that's Nicky's
that
pod.
Way, though, it's yeah. my seat. You know, it's my seat.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have something like that negotiated into my contract. And not only that, he's a genius. He doesn't need to give away money to an agent at this point in his life. He's already gotten to the, you know, top of the heap. So keep all the money, put it away for the rest of your life, and get yourself a nice sleep compartment on the team charter.
That's not a bad one. Got a couple minutes you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. What cool perk would you want? Mine is similar. I would say this doesn't count against the salary cap. And maybe it would. I actually don't know what the rules are for the NHL. If it costs the team money, I don't know if this counts. If it does, we'd have to reconsider this.
As long as it's not actually part of your compensation, then I think it's okay.
You're getting me a chef.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting me home massages, because they already have that stuff at the arena. Like,
right.
Guys show up to work
and
they get their
trainer and everything.
They get their nap room, they get their massage, that kind
of
stuff. That's all coming home with me. You got me a chef at home to make all my meals, and you got me, maybe he's doing my personal shopping, I don't know, but you're going to get me a chef, maybe an assistant, and you're getting me massages at home.
Helga.
That's what I'm doing.
Get to me Helga.
Yeah. I need, and that's what I like to, I like with the strong hands. You got to get in there. You can't do this surface stuff, okay? Some nice sensitive touching, that's great.
She's
I don't care.
Work out that lactic acid.
I'm talking about strength. I need a strong core. I need eagle talons.
Dive
digging
into my
into
quadriceps, Helga. Come on.
My
dig
lower
those
back.
Thumbs right in there.
Yeah. You got to get after it. There's some problem spots. Let's work on it. You want to use your body weight? Maybe you've got a few extra pounds after the buffet. You put that elbow back there. Let's go. That's how I'm doing it. That's what I would do. Sean, what's your perk? What would you take?
Kind of a gamer, so I don't know. Just
well, like Xbox at your
Xbox
pod.
You get like a great gaming setup, like
right.
with one of those gaming chairs that they sell that's got built-in speakers.
Exactly.
Right, with like a great TV setup.
Each new game that I want, I want it right then and there, like off rip.
I like that. I like that. Ryan, what's yours? What's your perk?
Gosh, this is hard.
Is it a calculator to do quick calculation like you did last segment?
I already have one built
Nailed
in
it.
My brains.
Nailed it.
I would honestly have to do probably an assistant just to do my everyday tasks.
I love that's kind of what I'm thinking is I've gotten to this point where I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm great. You know me, I know you. We're all in it together. I don't want to do the menial stuff anymore. You guys will pay someone to do that. I could pay someone to do that. Why don't you guys do it? Give me a personal assistant who also doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? Like the personal assistant doesn't ask if I need anything every 7 seconds. Like we'll have one big meeting once and I'll try to say, hey, from now on, you just figure out what I do and anticipate every need I have.
It's like that eager beaver intern years ago, like Chad Dukes for the Junkies. Can I get you something? Can I get you some coffee? Can I make a run down to the donut shop?
Nicknamed Chad the Stalker. That's
How
your afternoon
that?
Drive host, man. It's pretty awesome. I love that story.
Worked
by the
for
way.
Him.
Yeah, seriously. Worked for me too. I just kept like emailing CK and Brett like for 4 years. I was like, let me come in on Sunday morning. And they were like, no, not at all, ever. You got to move away.
That's happened for both of us, pal.
I know. It happens to all of us, man. And now here I am 10 years, and the company honored me for 5 years after 8 years. You never know how it works around here. You don't. Best little thing. We'll get you an update from BK, Pete Medhurst, Danny Ruye sitting in. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. This time of year, it's about giving. It's about receiving. It's about nice stuff. What's the best little thing? 800-636-1067. 5 minutes away on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.